Welcome to Rights Watch, a program about human rights around the world from Human Rights Watch. I'm Jesse Graham. The crackdown against anti-government protests in Bahrain was brutal. It included arrests of more than 1,600 people, including medical professionals. In September, military courts sentenced 20 medics to 5 to 15 years in prison. A civilian court will hear their appeal. Dr. Zahra Al-Samak is an anesthesiologist. Her husband, Dr. Ghassan Daif, is a maxillofacial surgeon. They were sentenced to 5 and 15 years in prison, respectively. Dr. Zahra Al-Samak is on the line with me today from Bahrain. Tell a little bit about what happened when the protests started for you.
We woke up in the morning on the 17th of February. People were protesting to get their rights and to get more democracy. My husband got a call from the resident to tell him that they need him in hospital. So both of us headed to the hospital to hear that the protesters were attacked by the riot police on that day, and there are lots of injuries. So we went there to the emergency department.
When you first went to the hospital, did you think that you would be at risk for treating people for doing the work that you usually do as a doctor?
Not at all. No. I mean, we are doctors and we are working in that hospital, and this is our normal job. We were doing our duty. We didn't ask who is this, is he a protester, is he a police. We were just treating injured people.
So you were doing your jobs, and eventually you were both arrested, and along with, I think, 18 other medical personnel.
Yes. Initially, my husband was arrested when we were going out of the country. He was arrested at the airport in front of me and his kids. They called him to go inside a room, and he never came back. And when I asked them what happened to my husband, what did he do, they told me, just forget about him. After 3 weeks, I was working in the hospital. I saw some masked men with guns in their pockets. They blindfolded me. It was 2 days interrogation. And I was blindfolded the whole time. I was standing. They didn't allow me to sleep. Long hours, I'll be standing, and they will beat me during the interrogation. They were humiliating me. They were assaulting me, and they are teasing me about my religion and my beliefs, and they were calling me, you traitor, you shouldn't be here, you don't deserve to be a doctor, you don't deserve your certificate, you should leave the country. They released me after a month, approximately, but my husband was still there.
And eventually you and your husband both faced a trial in this military court, security court.
I was accused of protesting against the regime, taking drugs and equipment from the hospital to the pair roundabout, and inciting hatred against the regime. These are fabricated charges and nothing to do with the doctors.
So you were sentenced to 5 years. Your husband was sentenced to 15 years. It's unclear whether or not these sentences will stand. But what would that mean for you and your family? I know that you have 3 children.
It's a tragedy for all of us. My future is very gloomy. My children's future is very gloomy. And we don't know what to do.
I'm going to bring in Joe Stork now, the deputy director of the Middle East and North Africa Division at Human Rights Watch. He's on the line from D.C. Joe, how, I guess, typical is Dr. Zahra's story of the other medical personnel who were arrested in Bahrain?
It's been very typical that people are picked up, held for weeks and sometimes months without any communication with their family, with a lawyer, with the outside world. So that's very typical of the many hundreds of people who've been arrested since the middle of March. It's also typical, I'm sorry to say, that people are badly treated in detention and particularly during interrogation. We've documented this going on for a number of years in Bahrain, not just starting this year.
And now Dr. Zahra and her husband, they were sentenced along with these other medical personnel, but now their appeal is going to be heard in a civilian court. What's your take on their trial and on this appeal?
These are political charges. These are crimes of thought, crimes of opinion. They're not criminal activities. Now, most of the people who have been arrested and tried before this special military court have been accused primarily of these kinds of political crimes. I mean, it wasn't the case that every doctor or every medic was arrested. It was the doctors who spoke out. It was the doctors who were willing to give interviews to the international media during the crisis. These are the doctors who were targeted.
How does Bahrain fit into the larger picture of the protests in the Arab world that we've seen over the last few months?
The day the protesters first came out was February 14th. And yes, they kind of had their wind at their back from what happened in Tunisia and in Egypt. I mean, just a few days earlier on February 11th was when Hosni Mubarak fell from power in Cairo. But February 14th is significant also, and the reason that was the date called by the Bahraini organizers was because it was the 10th anniversary of basically the basic reform promises of King Hamad, promises that they feel have not been fulfilled, promises of political accountability, political representation, and so forth. There's a great sense of betrayal on the part of many Bahrainis, particularly Shia Bahrainis, but not exclusively. There are also, I mean, I think the basic divide in Bahrain is between the ruling family and the rest of the population. Now, the government in this crisis in February and March and since then has really worked overtime to change that so that the divide is basically between Shia Bahrainis and Sunni Bahrainis. And they've created a terribly poisonous atmosphere in the country.
What role does the U.S. play, or what role should the U.S. play in the situation in Bahrain?
Well, yeah, Bahrain is an important ally. It's got the designation of essentially equivalent to a NATO ally. It's the home port for the Fifth Fleet, the U.S. Fifth Fleet. There's a major air base in Bahrain. The country's been very important to U.S. military operations in Iraq, in Afghanistan, and elsewhere in the region. The U.S. has obviously a lot of influence in Bahrain. The day after these sentences were handed down by the Special Military Court against the medics, the State Department spokesperson at the daily press briefing made a short comment basically expressing concern about the sentences and calling on Bahrain to live up to its obligations in terms of fair trial and so forth, you know, which was good, better than nothing, but he could have been a lot more specific in terms of the allegations of torture, in terms of the charade of the military trial. I mean, we're not talking, you know, asking Bahrain to live up to its obligations. The U.S. government should be saying how Bahrain has not lived up to those obligations. Be very specific about that, and we haven't seen that.
And the U.S. is also discussing an arms deal with Bahrain.
It's not only discussing, it is put on the table. There's a letter of offer, as the term goes, a letter of offer to sell some $53 million worth of armored Humvees and some missiles to the Bahrain Defense Forces, which have been implicated up to their eyeballs in the repression.
Dr. Zahra, hearing about all of this, about where Bahrain fits into the sort of geopolitical landscape, I guess, what do you have to say about what the world should do or what the U.S. should be thinking about people like you?
It doesn't only concern the medics in Bahrain. This can happen to anybody if human rights are not respected.
Joe, do you want to add anything?
It's important not just for what goes on in Bahrain. It's important for the credibility of the United States or of the United Kingdom, of France, et cetera, in terms of their record, their claims to be upholding human rights internationally. I mean, what we're seeing when we look at Bahrain, when we look at United Arab Emirates, when we look at Saudi Arabia, what we're seeing is that the double standard is alive and well, and that's really not a good thing.
That was Joe Stork, Deputy Director of the Middle East and North Africa Program at Human Rights Watch. We also spoke with Dr. Zahra Al-Sama from Bahrain. For more information about Bahrain, you can go to the Human Rights Watch website at hrw.org. Human Rights Watch is an independent organization dedicated to defending and protecting human rights around the world. For more about us, including audio, video, and multimedia features, please visit hrw.org. You can also find us on Facebook, or you can subscribe to the podcast through iTunes. Thanks for listening to Rights Watch. I'm Jesse Graham.